Welcome back to the Goggin Cold Hall Studios for Hour 2 of the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll take a look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games this weekend from the top 25 to the SEC. With interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is also brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Inns Bank, the Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Casa of Nashville, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, Jonathan Najjar, making sure everything runs smoothly, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, go to the website, gogginkold.com. This hour being presented by Lanham's AC Service. From heating to cooling needs, make sure you call and schedule your service or maintenance call today at 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com for more information. A little bit later this hour, Bob Kesslen joins us from Tuscaloosa at 11:37, the voice of the Tennessee Vols, previewing tonight's action between Alabama and Tennessee. But right now, like we love doing at this time each and every Saturday, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340 every Sunday night. Doug, we thank you as always, and a happy football Saturday to you.
Happy football Saturday. Glad to be here, Ballpark.
Hey, this morning, two games as far as the SEC kicking off. We have all 14 teams in action, seven conference games, and there's only one where we talk about cross divisions there with the Alabama-Tennessee game tonight, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. First and foremost, this morning, Auburn on the road taking on Arkansas. Auburn last time out before the bye week, they lost to the Gators, and now today they're in Fayetteville taking on Arkansas. The Razorbacks 2-4. Arkansas is still searching for their first conference win of the year. They're 0-3 in the SEC.
Yeah, and this should be a mismatch. You know, Gus is like 10, has won 10 straight after a bye week. They're just a much better team. But, you know, they're without Bobby Whitlow, which has been their bell cow for the last 2 years. And that's kind of what I chide Gus Malzahn most for, is the fact that there are opportunities to build depth and they still kind of depend on one guy. So I don't know who's going to carry the load today. I don't know if it's going to be by committee. And even if they have success running the ball, I'm not sure that really proves anything going forward because, you know, this is an Arkansas team that struggled. Now, three of the four losses I know are close. They're getting better, but it's still a bad team. But they need that run game. They need to run downhill because that will help Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to be not a good quarterback. Bo Nix is going to be a great quarterback, but he's not there right now in terms of playmaking ability. And decision making. He's holding on the ball. He's inaccurate. So they got to establish that running game quickly.
We look at Auburn under Gus Malzahn, 11-4 as a ranked team as far as in the top 15 when they take on unranked teams. I'm like you. You know, here's Auburn favored by 19 today, and I'm all over this one. I feel like Auburn will win big today as they continue to get ready for a big trip next week. To take on LSU and Baton Rouge. And by the way, I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, all the speculation that, you know, the Alabama-LSU game could be moved to a night game, just like we saw back in 2011, which needed some negotiations behind the scenes. I think we haven't had any kind of announcements about that, mainly because Auburn has a very good a chance and opportunity to go in and beat LSU next week in Baton Rouge, which then make that night game in Tuscaloosa. It would lose, obviously, a little bit of its luster if we're not talking about one versus two.
Yeah, from programming decision, but I still think Alabama-LSU is going to be a tremendous game regardless. I'm not sure CBS has any bullets in the chamber to make the move at this point. I'm not sure what they can give up at this point. I still think their decision to go prime time with Georgia and Notre Dame was a good decision because it's a very unique game to the SEC. The ratings were great. It was somewhat of a gamble, but I think you kind of draw in more of a national or a different national audience than you will for what could turn out to be the latest game of the century.
By the way, we sound like experts already. 12:38 to go in the first quarter. Auburn quickly on the scoreboard. A nice drive capped off with a four-yard touchdown run by quarterback Bo Nix. Waiting the extra point, Auburn leading Arkansas 6-0.
Yeah, and so far the top running option is Bo Nix. You know, we've got to see which running back emerges. You know, they don't have a lot of confidence in Cam Martin between the tackles, but he can break something. It will be DJ Williams, Sean Shivers. We see Harold Joyner. But they've got to come up with something because they're not going to have Booby Whitlow back until later in the season. And this offense goes from one-dimensional to zero-dimensional without that running game.
Florida this morning, they take on South Carolina, and so far no score in this one, although South Carolina threatening to score. They're facing a third and goal at the Florida's one-yard line, 11:01 to go in the first there. Here's Florida, certainly a disappointing loss last week in Baton Rouge to LSU, losing 42-28. I mean, the thing is, Kyle Trask in Florida playing well last week. They were up 28-21 in this game. Unfortunately, they could not keep up with LSU's scoring. In fact, they had two drives inside the red zone. One was turned over with an interception in the end zone. The other one was on downs in the shadows of the goal line. But I thought Florida offensively played well. I was a little surprised that LSU had the success that they were able to accumulate against that Florida defense last week.
Well, I still don't think Florida's an elite defense, and I said that, you know, that's what everybody was saying here after they shut down Auburn. I think it's a good, solid defense, but I think they've got some weaknesses in there. I think they've got some weaknesses in the secondary. I think they've got some weaknesses in the middle. They've got a pretty good defensive front, but when you compare it to the athleticism you see at some other places, and you can say some underperforming defenses like LSU or Alabama or Georgia after last week, I don't think they quite match up. The difference to me in Florida is that they are an improved offense with Kyle Trask. I think they've got a higher ceiling, and now South Carolina's punched in.
Right.
Yeah, I just think this is a very intriguing game because South Carolina is coming off the huge, huge emotional win. And common sense would say early start at home, they're not going to have enough in the tank to make it 2 weeks in a row. But you and I have been talking about this all year. South Carolina is much better than their record. I think they can take this game. I think they can take down the Gators.
Mon Denson, a one-yard touchdown run. The kick was good. South Carolina leading Florida 7-0. A couple things, too, about South Carolina. You know, last week with the big win against then-third-ranked Georgia, a win today, they'll be able to accomplish something that they've never achieved in the history of their football program. They've never had two straight wins over a top 10 back-to-back weeks. Never has happened. They have the opportunity today with ninth-ranked Florida in town.
And that's a pretty incredible stat, given the history of the program and the fact they've been in two powerhouse leagues. So that's really phenomenal. I didn't know that.
How about this shift, too? Prior to the last 9 years, South Carolina had all types of struggles against the Gators, managing only 4 wins in the previous 30 meetings. But over the last 9 mm-hmm. games, South Carolina actually has a winning record against Florida. South Carolina has won 5 out of the last 9 going into this matchup today.
And where did it start? It started with the old ball coach. And again, you know, we go back and look at those consecutive 11-win seasons, and well, that's Steve Spurrier being Steve Spurrier, but he'll always be a Gator. There ought to be a statue for him for what he did at South Carolina, but it showed the potential there. You know, it's a state with a lot of talent, but they're kind of in the shadows of one of the 3 most elite programs in college football. But there is talent there, and all things are possible in Columbia.
Doug Seirish joining us again out of Birmingham with the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340. And for those who have been around these parts for a while, you might remember him back in his days with the Nashville Banner as well. 2:30 this afternoon, the SEC game on CBS, 6-0 LSU, 2-0 in the SEC, on the road in Starkville, taking on Mississippi State. The Bulldogs 3-3 on the year, 1-2 in the SEC. And boy, what a disappointing loss it was last week for Mississippi State. You know, here's a team that back in August we saw as a peripheral top 25 team. You know, top 10? No. Top 15? No. Maybe even top 20? No. But 21st to 25th? Yeah, I could buy into that. And it's a team that had a certainly back in September, a very disappointing loss to Kansas State at the time, losing by 7. I can give them the loss at Auburn, maybe not by the margin we were talking about with Auburn blowing them out 56-23. After coming off of a bye week, that's the effort you get with Tennessee winning 20-10. That's the effort you get out of the Bulldogs. If you're a fan of Hail State, you wonder what's going to happen today in Starkville with LSU coming to town. Something tells me it's going to be closer than everybody expects. Everybody just anticipates with no offense from Mississippi State, LSU is going to have a blowout. I actually took Mississippi State and the 18 points today. It's just, you know, it is so tough for any team. And I go back, you have to go all the way back to the mid-90s when Nebraska never was really challenged as far as a team that has national championship hopes and aspirations, a team that week in and week out just delivers, blows everybody out week in and week out, never struggling. And somewhere along the lines, LSU can slip up, and you can see that possibility on the road today at Mississippi State. Not that they would lose, but I don't see a blowout win today by LSU.
Well, it's the perfect setup because, again, you're coming off the emotional victory. You've got Auburn next week. This is obviously a trap game. But I'm like you. I don't think Mississippi State has enough horses, and because of that, I just don't see this being that close. I think this is an LSU team that can kind of pick their score. As good as this offense looks, I don't think there's any way Mississippi State can slow them down. To me, the big test is next week against an Auburn defense that is as good as any in the SEC, if not the country. In terms of just being fundamentally sound, they've got some weaknesses in the secondary, but they can put pressure on the quarterback. They can take the run away. So to me, that's the big test. And even though there's plenty of logic that says, you know, LSU could take a step back day and kind of slug it out, I think they'll be pretty crisp because this is new. You know, this offense has something to prove. They've been waiting, you know, 20 years for a chance to show this explosiveness. And I just don't see them really taking a step back today.
It's interesting with LSU. You know, they lead the nation in scoring. And in fact, that they're 315 points so far in their six games. It's the most in school history. But the ironic part of this, because they only scored 42 in the last two games, it's Alabama and not LSU with a chance to make some history as far as scoring. Alabama tonight with Tennessee, they can tie an SEC record. Oh, they can tie their record of six straight games with 45 or more points. And but with that said, there's, you know, LSU's offense and the job that they're doing, especially with their passing game with Joe Burrow, is one of the reasons why when you're trying to pick a midseason All-American first team at quarterback, a lot of possibilities out there. Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts. But Joe Burrow certainly has deserved that honor through these first 6 weeks.
I think you could argue right now that he's your Heisman front runner based on what he's done, the fact they've had two big wins, and he's played exceptionally well in those. You know, obviously, Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa are going to have a lot to say about it, but Alabama hadn't played a marquee team yet. We keep saying that. Well, Duke may be the third best team in the ACC. South Carolina just beat Georgia, but Alabama didn't get a lot of credit for those wins. You know, I think this game tonight, I think it'll be electric atmosphere. What's weird to me is that Vegas only makes LSU an 18-point favorite. Alabama's a 35-point favorite over the team that just beat Mississippi State by 10. So I think that shows what Vegas kind of thinks about this Alabama offense. So I think they can name the score tonight. I think this is a much-improved Tennessee team. But again, I just don't see them having a lot of success, even against this defense that's been questionable at times. Now, if they're methodical, if they're patient, they can drive the ball, they can keep Alabama off the field. But I haven't seen a lot of signs that Tennessee is consistent enough to do that the way South Carolina was.
How about these stats? You know, it's bizarre how this works out because I go back to when Tennessee and Florida was relevant and not – back in the 90s and the early last part of the decade, last year, you know, you would see matchups where both teams – forget about being ranked in the top 25. We often had some top five matchups and certainly a lot of top 10 matchups. How about these stats when you look at the fact with Alabama-Tennessee tonight, the fact that Alabama – This will be the ninth time they're taking the field as a number one team against Tennessee. They've done it, by the way, get this, four straight years, six out of the last eight, seven of the last 12 during this 12-game winning streak against the Volunteers. The ironic part is Tennessee, in the history, and you go back to the poll since 1936, these two teams have played every year except 1943. So tonight, the 83rd meeting, Tennessee has never been a number one team taking on Tennessee, ever.
Wow.
In fact, Tennessee's only been ranked once in that 12-year period of time when they faced Alabama. That was number nine ranking back in 2016. That's it.
Under Bush, yeah. Listen, this is the greatest run in college football history, and it's been a lopsided series. It's been a lopsided series before, but this is the most lopsided we've ever seen it. I think part of it is just Tennessee fell off the cliff. I think they're slowly getting back, and the patience will pay off, but it may be 2 or 3 years. This is an Alabama program. There's no signs of a slowdown. They may get snake bit. Auburn may get them, LSU may get them, Georgia may get them in the SEC championship game if they get there. But I think that's less because of talent and more because of turnover. It just, you know, next year they're going to be incredible on defense. So, you got to get them while you can. And unfortunately, it's just a bad time for Tennessee to get them.
Having a chance once again to visit with Doug Segrist out of Birmingham. By the way, this both teams, the interesting part about Alabama's streak, they're 12-0 over these last 12 meetings dating back to 2007. Right before that, Tennessee enjoyed their best streak in this series. From 1995 to 2004, they were 9-1. They were also able to put together a stretch of 9-1-3 with the three ties from 1948 to 1960. But Alabama, besides this 12-0 streak that they're currently under, back from 71 to 81, they were also 11-0. And then from 86 to 94, 8-0-1 in the series as well.
Yeah, it's been a series of streaks. And obviously part of the reason it's such a big rivalry is how Tennessee dominated early, particularly when Bear Bryant was a player. And then when he was, he first got to Tuscaloosa. This is still a very storied series. Let's see if it hangs on there, because I do think we've talked a lot about the schedule. I think there will be an adjustment in the schedule the next couple of years. And it'll be interesting to see if this series remains an annual rivalry. But I think that's one thing that's made it so electric is that, one, you're talking about two powerhouse programs that can just kind of run away from the other one if they're just average. And you look at the last Tennessee streak, it's not like Alabama was going 3-9 every year. They were just a mediocre program. They were going to good bowl games for the most part, but Tennessee was just absolutely dominant. It was the best run in Tennessee history.
I mean, Tennessee taking on Bama, they've only been in the top five six times ever.
And yeah, that's incredible.
Only
that's
six incredible. Times. Yeah, so it's really interesting. Now let's move forward. Missouri this afternoon against Vanderbilt, 3 o'clock kickoff. Missouri entering this ballgame. They're by themselves right now, the top of the SEC East, the only unbeaten team in conference play in the East. Coming into this game, 2-0 as far as in conference play, 5-1. That loss back in week one, 37-31 to Wyoming. It's like a blip on the radar the way Missouri's been playing. 11 straight games of 31 or more points. That's what Missouri's been able to put together going into this game today. They also, in a 26-game stretch, they're 19-7. That's the fourth best record during that span in the SEC, behind only Alabama, LSU, and Georgia. It's also good for ninth best of the Power 5 conference teams. The thing that really stands out for me, I mentioned the kind of points and what Missouri is being able to do. That streak, certainly it started with Drew Locke, continued so far this year with Kelly Bryant, is the fact that they're taking on a Vanderbilt defense. There's only one team in all of the FBS, that's UMass, that gives up more yards per play on defense than Vanderbilt entering this game this afternoon.
Yeah, and I think this is a very good Missouri offense. I think it's explosive. I don't think it's as good or as explosive as they were with Drew Locke. But, I think they can hit 50 today. But the biggest difference to me in Missouri and what goes unnoticed is that they are so improved defensively against the run, against the pass. Now, they gave up 27 against Ole Miss last week, but this is Ole Miss offense that has quietly really started to hum. That's what makes them, in my mind, a legitimate contender to get to Atlanta. It's because of their balance. And again, nobody outside of Missouri really knows how good this team is. I think Nashville learns it tonight.
By the way, Auburn scored again. The Shivers with a touchdown run. So Sean Shivers, Bo Nix, touchdown runs. Auburn up 14-0 over Arkansas, 10-48 in the first quarter. Game being played in Fayetteville, South Carolina, still leading the Florida Gators 7-0. Still in the first quarter there as well. Moving forward, you've got Kentucky taking on Georgia between the hedges today, or I should say tonight, rather. 5 o'clock as far as start time, but most of the game will be under the lights there in Athens, Georgia. You know, here's the thing. I kind of look back at, 2017 with the Georgia team losing to Auburn during the regular season, still able to bounce back. I have a rematch with Auburn in the SEC title game, win that, and then have a lead in overtime against Alabama in a national championship game before losing on Tua's touchdown pass in that particular game. The question will be, can Georgia, just like 2017, bounce back after certainly a disappointing loss to South Carolina last week?
And the answer is yes. Listen, they're just too good. They got a little problem offensively right now. I think it'll come around because I think today they'll be able to get that running game going again. What's wrong with their offense? Are they too conservative? I think more than anything, they don't have playmakers on the edge. You know, you go from sending 2-3 guys to the NFL to really not have a guy you can trust. I think George Pickens, the kid from Hoover, is going to be superb, but he's not there yet in terms of consistency. I still can't explain away, but last week, but except that we know that South Carolina is much better than its record, and if you have an off day in the SEC, it can be fatal. I think Georgia will win out. The only game I really have questioned the rest of the year is, well, two, Missouri and Auburn. But I think they'll turn around. You know, Kirby Smart is a program builder. He's got everything going. He makes some bad in-game decisions, but, you know, now everybody's kind of comparing. Look where he was. He's no better than Mark Richt was. Mark Richt was his first 3-4 years. Guess what? Mark Richt was an elite coach. His first 7 years at Georgia were as good as it gets. So that's not a bad comparison.
Kentucky, by the way, they're looking for their first road win over a ranked SEC team. You have to go all the way back to 98 when they knocked off a LSU team that was ranked 21st in the country back then in overtime. So it's a tough order today for Kentucky in this matchup against Georgia. Also, 6:30 start time, Ole Miss tonight playing host to Texas A&M. I still look back when coaches talk about, oh, we're young. We're still young out there. Ole Miss can certainly brag about that and back it up with the stats. Almost 85% of their offense have come from freshmen, which is the most in the country this year. Look, they're exciting players. It makes you think about how bright the future could be for Ole Miss. But Texas A&M, they need a win. 3-3 on the season, 1-2 in conference play, and their schedule has been brutal. Knowing that they have taken on the likes of not only Clemson but Alabama when both of those teams were number one, also lost to a top 10 team in Auburn, A&M is certainly looking to get back on track tonight in Oxford against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think if Texas A&M loses this one, Jimbo, they paid him too much. You can't say he's on the hot seat, but it's going to start getting warm. By contrast, Matt Luke's the guy, everybody always talks about, well, he's always on the hot seat and what's the next option. But this guy just quietly does a really good job of building something and keeping these guys engaged when there's no carrot to dangle but because of the probation they endure. Now that they're starting to replenish the roster and there aren't questions, unlike before, there aren't questions about how he's replenishing this roster. And he goes out and hires two really legit coordinators, and now you're starting to see it pay off. You know, they only scored 31 against Vanderbilt. That may go down as Vanderbilt's best defensive performance. They scored 31 against Alabama. They scored 27 against Missouri. Should have beat Cal. So now this offense is starting to click, and I think they could pull the upset off tonight.
Doug, as always, we appreciate you joining us every Saturday and also during the week on my show, Monday through Fridays. That can be heard here from 4 to 7 with the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. But, Doug, as always, thank you. If you want to keep up with Doug on Twitter, it's simple. Go to Twitter and follow him at DSegress. The TV show is The Zone on ABC 3340 in Birmingham each and every Sunday night. So check them out there. Doug, as always, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a great Saturday.
You as well. That's Doug Segrist joining us. Still coming up this hour, Bob Kessling will join us from Tuscaloosa, the voice of the Tennessee Vols. This segment brought to you by Richard Courtney. You know, every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line, and it's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. So learn more about his proven marketing plan. You can go to his website at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. That's 300-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick and Clark Realty at 615-327-4800. Coming up, a scoreboard update right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business, as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service, And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back. It's time for our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show scoreboard update, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios, and this brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. Once again, you can call and schedule a service or maintenance call at 615-969-9065 or go to lanhamsacservice.com for more information. Third-ranked Clemson having some struggles offensively, although they're driving, they're just turned the ball over, actually, inside the red zone. But leading Louisville 3-0, 4:18 to go in the first. Clemson a heavy favorite in this one, favored by 24. You also have West Virginia on the road taking on fifth-ranked Oklahoma, 4:13 to go in the first quarter, and it's Oklahoma on top, 7-0. Jalen Hurts 3-for-3 so far this morning, 39 yards passing and a touchdown pass as well. You have sixth-ranked Wisconsin on the road taking on Illinois. Waning moments of the first quarter, inside 2 minutes to go in the first, is Wisconsin on top of Illinois, 7-0 already. Jonathan Taylor, the running back for Wisconsin, 8 carries, 41 yards. In SEC play, ninth-ranked Florida trying to bounce back after their 14-point loss to LSU last week. It's South Carolina with the early 7-3 lead. A game being played in South Carolina, 3:25 to go in the first. It's 11th-ranked Auburn coming off the bye week. And up big so far in the first quarter, at the halfway point of the first quarter, 7:20 to go in the first, is Auburn 14, Arkansas zip. In Big Ten play, it's 23rd-ranked Iowa leading Purdue 6-0, just getting ready to start the second quarter there in Iowa. In other action, it's Houston on top of UConn 3-0, 2:53 to go in the first. It's Ohio leading Kent State 10-7, 5:05 remaining in the first quarter. In ACC play, a game being played down in South Florida, the Hurricanes of Miami all tied up with Georgia Tech, 7 apiece, 6:17 to go in the first. Also in ACC action is Boston College at home leading North Carolina State early, 7-0, 5:36 to go in the first. Also, you have a matchup in the Big 12 playing right now. Iowa State leading Texas Tech 7-0, 2:46 to go in the first. Once again, the scoreboard update brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. For more information for your heating and cooling needs, also if you need to schedule a service or maintenance call, get in touch with them. You can get more information by going online, lanhamsacservice.com. Coming up on the other side, as our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show continues, we'll visit with Bob Kessling, the voice of the Tennessee Vols. He joins us from Tuscaloosa. Hey, by the way, you know, with football season means it's tailgating season as well. Here's the thing. If you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But the bottom line is this. On average, a DUI can set you back $10,000. It can also cost you your life. So remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home.
Knowledge. knowledge, trust, results.
Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick & Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Right now, it's a real treat. I know it's a busy day for this young man joining us from Tuscaloosa, the voice of the Tennessee Vols, Bob Kessling, joining us. Bob, first of all, thank you for taking time out on game day, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Johnny. Good to talk to you.
All right, so what, when you think about this rivalry, Alabama-Tennessee, I still go back to, you know, growing up as a kid in Alabama, I still remember when Bear Bryant would talk about his team, and he wasn't talking about Auburn or anybody else. He always used the Tennessee game to gauge just how good his team could possibly be in any given season. And, I mean, this is an incredible rivalry over the years. They played every year except for one going back to 1936, for example. I mean, they've played an awful lot of times. What does this rivalry mean from your perspective?
Well, it's the 102nd meeting between the two teams, so that tells you a little bit about it. It's got some fiber to it. And I think if you talk to especially the old-time Tennessee and Alabama folks, they'll tell you this was kind of a measuring stick. If you go back and look at all the great coaches that have been in this rivalry and the great players, and there have been a lot of great games. Now, it has been streaky. It's been a series that, you know, both teams have gone on long winning streaks, and it's been kind of an up-and-down series at times. But then Alabama's on one of those runs right now. But, you know, I still think it, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and I were talking about this on Vol Calls Wednesday night, that it's a rivalry that's not a nasty rivalry. It's not, there's not a lot of name-calling. There's not a lot of finger-pointing. It's good, hard-hitting football, and you respect each other. And I think that's what makes this rivalry a little bit different than some of the other ones. I think there's such a great respect from both sides of the tradition of these programs that it's not one of those rivalries that you kind of dread because you don't know, you know, how the player's going to react and if they're going to be chipping and you know, mouthing off and getting a lot of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. You don't see that in this rivalry. They just go out and try and play hard, shake each other's hands afterwards, and say, we'll see you next year. That's what you kind of like in college football. I think it's one of the best rivalries in college football because of the fact they really do respect each other so much.
I mean, I know Alabama does this. I have to – it's been a while, no offense, but it's been a while since Tennessee has won in this game with the 12-game winning streak for Alabama. I know Alabama celebrates with the cigars at the end of the game if they're victorious. Does Tennessee do the same thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah, oh, yeah. They've got a case of cigars coming down to Tuscaloosa. They hope they might get a chance to use them one of these years. So, you know, it started back the old Alabama trainer who used to work at Tennessee, and – he's the first guy that brought the cigars out a long time ago. So both sides have smoked cigars down through the year. So, yeah, it's a great tradition. And so, you know, that's one of those things that adds to a little bit the fact that there is something special about it. If you win, you get to enjoy the fruits of it. So,
you know, prior to this 12-game winning streak for Alabama, there are other long streaks in this series. They were 11-0 from 71 to 81. They were also 8-0-1 from 1986 to 94. The ironic part about this current 12-game winning streak for Alabama, it comes right after Tennessee enjoyed its best stretch from 95 to 2004. Tennessee was 9-1 in this series. Then they split the next 2 years before Alabama started this streak in 2007.
Yeah, I mean, and you go back down through the years. I mean, they're each side has had its upper hand in the series. And you know, I remember driving back to when I was working at the Channel 10 there in Knoxville, and you'd drive back after the game. Most of the games back in those days were played in Birmingham at Legion Field. And so you'd be driving back, and they'd be hanging bed sheets off the interstate overpasses, and would have the number of straight games or the score that Alabama, so all the folks that are driving back to Knoxville would be well reminded on their way of what the score of the game was and how many years in a row Alabama had won. So that is also something I remember about this rivalry. So it's good spirited. It's a hard hitting game. It's a game that I would hate to see go away. You know, they're talking about conference, you know, rescheduling and doing away with permanent opponents and all kinds of different things. I would just hate to see this game go away on an annual basis. I mean, it'd be like saying that the Texas-Oklahoma or the Ohio State-Michigan game is going to go away. I mean, it's just something that would be bad for college football. I'd hate to see it happen. You know, I would tell you, I think there's still a lot of people in the state of Texas that are still shaking their head that Texas and Texas A&M don't play every year. That just doesn't seem right. So, and I think it'd be bad if Tennessee and Alabama didn't play every single year. So I hope the conference office and everybody that kind of enjoys some of the good things about college football will make sure this game stays in place every year.
I mean, I go back to, and I saw this proposal 3 weeks ago, and to me it makes the most sense. You know, forget about West and East if you're the SEC. You can also do the same thing as far as the Big Ten. Just go top to bottom. But with the SEC, instead of two permanent teams on your schedule each and every year, you go with the direction of doing it with three. So if you're Tennessee, you would play Vanderbilt, Alabama, and pick either Georgia, Florida, for example. And then you, on the other 10 teams, every 2 years, you're going to either host one of those teams or you're going to be on the road. So every team in the SEC, you're going to see twice in a four-year period of time if they're not one of your permanent teams. And nothing. The only thing is you can say, well, what happens, for example, if Tennessee-Vanderbilt, they play and then they have to play again in the SEC title game, for example, or Alabama-Auburn would have to play again the very next week if they're the two best teams. You know, given the choice of the fact that, I mean, I saw like last week with Tennessee-Mississippi State, the fact that that was, what, the first meeting since 2012? And then they play again, what, in 23 or something along those lines? That's just a joke if you're, you know, if you're wanting to see what Tennessee does against Mississippi State, for example.
Well, but, you know, another way to get around that is go to 9 conference games. And that way you cut down the number of times that you would skip. But there is no movement among coaches in this league to go to 9 conference games. So that's not going to happen. I like the divisional format. I like the way it's set up. I like the fact that you've got a permanent opponent that you play every year. And I don't know. I think that, you know, when you have one side of the league that's dominant, I mean, this year, when you look at it right now, you'd say, well, we already know that it's going to be Alabama and LSU in the SEC championship game. So why play all these other games? Well, but if you got divisional play, I mean, you still don't know who's coming from the East, and you're not sure who's going to win the West. So I like the divisional play, and I kind of think that's added a lot. I think that it's like the wild card teams in baseball. If your team is fighting for a wild card spot, at least it keeps your interest up in September, whereas if you didn't have those extra wild card teams, you ought to be turning your thoughts toward football season and everything. So I like the divisional play. I think it keeps a lot of teams in play for a long time for a shot to play in the SEC championship game. So I would not like to see them get away from that. But and I don't know how to settle the problem of not playing. If you're going to stay in divisional play, then I don't know how you solve the problem of, Tennessee and Auburn only playing once every 8 or 9 years. I don't have an answer for that.
Bob, all-time Tennessee 2-13 against number one teams. How unfair is it the fact that here's Alabama for the fourth straight year, number one when Tennessee takes them on? Alabama's been number one 6 out of the last 8 meetings and 7 out of the 12 meetings since Bama started the streak. And the other 5 years, twice as number 2, once as number 4, and the other 2 times as number 8. So all 12 times, Alabama's been in the top 8 in the country when they've taken on the Vols.
Well, that sends one message, I think, to Tennessee. Get better. Do something about it. And I think that's what Jeremy Pruitt's philosophy is. You know, that he has said numerous times that it's Tennessee's obligation to make Tennessee and Alabama and Tennessee, Florida and Tennessee, Georgia make it back into a rivalry. And you do that by getting better players and playing better. And I don't know if you want to be a championship program, you shouldn't want to back away from anybody, and you should take on all comers. So I don't think, dodging people is a way to get your program better. I think you play everybody and give it your best shot, and your job is to get better. So I think that's where Tennessee is right now.
Before we let you go, what's the latest as far as the quarterback spot tonight for Tennessee, Jarrett Garantano or Brian Maurer?
No, from all indications, it's going to be Brian Maurer. I mean, he practiced all week, and he's on the trip. And I would not see a scenario unless, the medical staff says something. They check in this morning and say something that's not going to work. I would expect it to be Brian Maurer. He wants to play. I think that they think he gives them the best chance to win. And so I would be shocked if it wasn't Brian Maurer taking the first snap tonight.
As always, Bob, we appreciate you, but especially on game day, we appreciate you joining us. Please be safe in all your travels. Have a great call tonight, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay, Johnny. Thanks. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure. All my pleasure. Thank you again. That's Bob Kesling, the voice of the Tennessee Vols, once again. A late kickoff, too. Just after 8 Central Time from Tuscaloosa. First night game of the season for Alabama at home, and this is after installing the new lights. So expect an electric atmosphere tonight. It's always special when Bama and Tennessee kick off. That's tonight, the last game kicking off in the SEC just after 8. Coming up, we'll have a scoreboard update and more as our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show continues. This hour being brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. Whether you're talking about heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off during those hot summer days, check out Lanham's AC Service here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee. Owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. I should know, I've been a customer of theirs for almost 10 years. So check them out. To schedule a service or maintenance call, call 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with their puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home.
Knowledge, trust, results.
Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of Innsbank. For over 17 years, Innsbank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. Innsbank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InnsbankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Innsbank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Don't forget, a little bit later this afternoon, 2 o'clock as far as the pregame, 3 o'clock kickoff, as Western Kentucky takes on Charlotte for homecoming up in Bowling Green. We'll have all the action for that one this afternoon. And then tonight, Penn State playing host to Michigan. We'll have that game as well, kickoff for that one at 6:30. Speaking of Conference USA, a couple of big games today on the landscape. Besides Western Kentucky and Charlotte, Middle Tennessee State will be on the road taking on North Texas. 3 o'clock kickoff for that one. Also, a game with the first place in the West Division of Conference USA on the line. Southern Miss, 2-0 in conference play. Louisiana Tech, same situation. 2:30 kickoff this afternoon from La Tech. Other action today, UAB plays host to Old Dominion, Rice at Texas San Antonio, UTEP will be at Florida International, and as we mentioned earlier, Western Kentucky hosting Charlotte, game right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Time for a scoreboard update. Looking at action so far this morning, you have third-ranked Clemson just scored a touchdown pass for Trevor Lawrence. And with the extra point good, Clemson leads Louisville 10-0, 10:41 to go before halftime. Game being played up in Louisville. It's also fifth-ranked Oklahoma having a few struggles as West Virginia just scored to cut the lead in half. Oklahoma leading West Virginia 14-7, 11:57 to go before halftime. A touchdown pass from Austin Kendall, West Virginia, closing the gap on the Sooners. It's also in the Big Ten. You've got sixth-ranked Wisconsin with a 10-0 lead over Illinois. 8:38 to go in the second quarter. Jonathan Taylor, the outstanding running back for Wisconsin, already 12 carries, 64 yards. The biggest story about Wisconsin, however, with what they've been able to do through their first six games, best stretch as far as points allowed. It's second only to what Florida State did. You have, this is a stretch going over the last 40 years. Only Florida State has allowed fewer points during that stretch. They did that back in 93, the season that ended up with a national title for Florida State. They allowed only 24 points in their first six games. Here's Wisconsin allowing only 29, including four shutouts. Right now, shutting out Illinois, Wisconsin leading 10-0, 8:28 to go in the second. You have ninth-ranked Florida all tied up with South Carolina. South Carolina actually jumped out to the 7-0 lead, but the Gators now with a field goal and now a touchdown just tied it up with the Gamecocks. Game being played in Columbia. How about Kyle Trask, the quarterback for Florida? 7-12 so far this morning, 105 yards passing and one score, 10:08 to go before halftime. In Fayetteville, Arkansas, the only other game in the SEC so far this morning, 11:23 to go before halftime, and it's 11th-ranked Auburn having no problems. In fact, they're threatening again, facing a 3rd-and-7 at Arkansas's 22, leading Arkansas 17-0. So far this morning, Bo Nix, the quarterback for Auburn, a touchdown run. He's 4-7 passing for 45 yards. And Cam Martin leading the attack on the ground for Auburn. So far, 8 carries, 76 yards as Auburn leads Arkansas 17-0. In Big Ten play, is 23rd-ranked Iowa leading Purdue 6-0, 6:49 to go before halftime there. And then other scores throughout the area. UConn leading Houston 7-3. American Athletic Conference game there, 11:49 before halftime. In addition, in ACC play, tough game down in South Florida. How about Miami? Georgia Tech all tied up, 14 apiece, just starting the second quarter there. Also in the ACC, Boston College leading North Carolina State 7-3, 11:45 remaining before halftime. And then finally, in Big 12 play this morning, is all Iowa State leading Texas Tech 20-0, waiting the extra point, 10:12 to go before halftime. Big thanks to our visitors to the day, today to our show, Joe Fisher, the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, Corey Geiger, he covers Penn State and the Big Ten for the Altoona Mirror up in Pennsylvania, Doug Segrist, he of course is a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, and Bob Kessling, the voice of the Tennessee Vols. Don't forget, 2 o'clock this afternoon for pregame kickoff at 3, Western Kentucky playing host to Charlotte. And then tonight, Penn State hosting Michigan. All that action right here on Nashville Sports Radio. For Jonathan Najjar, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great football weekend, and do us both a favor and make it count.